schismogenesis and green energy policy and gubernatorial elections in California.
That was a lot of big words. Illegal tariffs and Taylor Swift's engagement. Huh. Welcome to Downsample News. Hello, welcome to Downsampled News. My name is Belock, and I'm here with my father,
Richie B.
Mm-hmm. And we have topics today. Then your topics include so many big words. So these are news stories from the past month, August 2025, approximately. There's a big scary word on your screen, and I'm curious what it means. You want to go ahead?
Yeah. So it's called schismogenesis, uh-huh. And I'm going to talk about that and the green energy policy.
Mm.
So schismogenesis is a term I learned recently. It comes from anthropology.
Mm-hmm.
And this occurs when you have two tribes that live next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And one tribe does A,
mm-hmm.
the other tribe will do not A, just because. So like if the one tribe wears red paint, mm-hmm. On the heads, the other tribe will definitely not wear red paint.
Yeah, that's basically human nature. Yeah, I could see that.
So that's an actual word and mm-hmm. phenomenon that has been observed in many places.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, what I want to do is talk about the green energy policy,
mm-hmm.
between differences between Democrats and Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this applies in this case because mm-hmm. whatever Democrats are for, Republicans are against.
Well, the blue paint, the red paint, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
It can't be the same.
So, unfortunately, when this new administration came in, they are attempting to reverse some of the advances in the green energy policies.
Mm-hmm.
And
now, those were green energy policies by the Biden administration or even before?
Even before.
Okay.
So, but there's some interesting things happening, though. So let me just talk about, for some reason, Donald Trump hates windmills.
Yes, he does hate windmills. What a strange fascination it is.
And the other funny thing that he always says, you know, you can't use windmills because what are you going to do when the wind doesn't blow? But we have this technology he may have heard about called batteries.
I don't know, but didn't he say something about the batteries in the boat and when they sink, then the sharks?
Yeah, sharks. Yeah,
yeah. You know, you want to be careful because of the sharks and the batteries.
But anyway, so let me just go through a couple of the policies that this administration and the Republicans in Congress are trying to push through.
Mm-hmm.
So there was executive order signed that says no solar or wind farms on federal lands.
Okay.
The big ugly bill
mm-hmm.
Rolled back a lot of tax credits for renewable energy.
Mm-hmm.
So in the Inflation Reduction Act,
mm-hmm.
Poorly named,
yeah.
Bill, there was a lot of subsidies for people to be able to reduce the cost of putting up solar panels or building wind energy.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing about it, though, they pulled some of these credits back, but they will not take effect until next year.
Okay.
I don't know. And it has to do with, you know, imports from China, because China is the largest manufacturer of solar panels and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, if you start a project now
mm-hmm.
to build something, all the old rules still apply.
Mm-hmm.
And only when you start things after like July 4, 2026,
mm-hmm.
then that's when the cutoff happens.
Okay.
So lots of people, as effect of this, are just trying, pushing
to
through.
To rush it through and get it done. Okay.
The other interesting thing is one of the tax credits that were provided was to farmers. So if mm-hmm. farmers had land they wanted to use instead of growing stuff is to put up solar panels.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you want to have, you want to grow stuff that grows well in the shade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They could get credits and loans and stuff from USDA. And the current USDA administrator just blocking those. And so like last couple of weeks, they just said, no, we're not doing that anymore.
Hmm. Love not paying farmers. Very, very conservative? Question mark.
You may have heard about this because there was a big wind farm being built off the coast of Rhode Island.
Mm-hmm.
And Trump administration told them to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like the second time they asked it to stop, and they resumed, and they told them to stop again because of national security. It's a Dutch firm that's building it. It's almost ready to spin it up, and mm-hmm. will provide huge amounts of electricity.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, we can't. We have a national security issue with windmills.
The construction is about 80% complete. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's very funny because in one of his rants about windmills, and Trump was saying that the price of electricity is much higher in New Jersey because of all the windmills.
Uh-huh.
Turns out that New Jersey doesn't have any windmills.
I was going to say, I don't think we have any windmills.
there's been talk about putting some off the coast of New Jersey, and the people are fighting it because they don't want whatever.
Yeah.
But the result of all this is that price of electricity is going to kind of go up mm-hmm. because the demand for electricity is going up. And especially with the, you know, the AI data centers mm-hmm. And stuff. So
always comes back to AI for us. We need those windmills
so,
to make those
AI anyway,
images.
So that's the Republicans and Trump, mm-hmm. Their view of they don't want any renewables. They want to go back to coal and natural gas. Now, here's the reality. Okay, mm-hmm. So in reality, solar and wind power are the cheapest ones to build, mm-hmm. right? For many reasons, because especially with solar, once you build it, there is no fuel cost.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the sun.
Yeah.
There's relatively small amount of maintenance, so there's no lots of labor to do.
You right.
know,
yeah.
To do this, and the same thing with a little bit more with wind because there's more maintenance of the turbines. But solar panels and solar fields are very quick to put up. Whereas, mm-hmm. like let's say you wanted to build, like in Pennsylvania, where there's lots of natural gas available.
Mm-hmm.
You want to build a natural gas power plant.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's all lovely. But to generate electricity with natural gas, you have to have these special turbines that mm-hmm. burn gas and spin and stuff. Well, those aren't made in the United States.
Mm.
And the lead time on getting one of those is at least 5 or 6 years.
Mm.
So,
yep.
if you want to build nuclear plants, it's the same kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, and they're more expensive to run. Nobody wants to build coal because coal, besides being dirty and stuff, is expensive.
Mm.
And again, you have to pay for the fuel and you have to pay to maintain the plant and run it.
Mm-hmm. And you have to pay for the people to mine it.
Right.
Like you have to, like, there's like manpower required
and
to mine it.
And it's like,
and
you
it's
know,
dangerous.
You put all solar power once and then just get the energy with gas or even coal. You burn fuel, so you just use it once and you have to
and
get
it's gone.
More.
You have to get more, yeah.
So the funny thing in reality, like for example, in Iowa, 60% of all the power comes from wind.
Hmm.
You know, Iowa, very red state.
Yeah.
Texas is the leader in the wind and renewable power in the United States. It has the largest amount of that.
The hypocrisy.
No, it gets funny.
Oh,
California makes about 47% from solar and wind, but has about 66% of its power is zero carbon, meaning it's hydro plants and nuclear plants, right? And solar and wind.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, especially like, you know, at night when the sun doesn't shine, mm-hmm. batteries are used to store the energy during the day and then reused during the night. And battery technology has improved tremendously in the mm-hmm. past, you know, 10, 15 years. So they can store so much more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still continuing to improve. Coal power plants are getting shut down because it's too expensive to run.
Mm-hmm.
Never mind that it's polluting. It's just it costs too much money.
So. Yeah.
So basically, a lot of the energy companies that provide electricity, they don't want to build coal plants or gas plants. They want to build solar. You know,
mm-hmm.
putting solar panels on a farmland is actually kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So like, because you can put them up high so that you can grow stuff underneath.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I'll talk about this interesting book that I heard about regarding all of this. But basically, there is lots of stuff that grows well in the shade, but doesn't. So like in France, they have vineyards where the grapes grow in the shade under the solar panels.
Oh, that's interesting. My favorite use of solar panels I've seen so far is at Rutgers University. They put solar panels over like a lot of their parking lots.
Yeah.
So your car doesn't sit and bake in the sun and get to be 100 degrees. You get to park nice in the shade. There's nothing growing there anyway because it's a parking lot. And they have, I mean, Rutgers has a huge quantity of solar energy.
So I've read about farmers in Vermont who put up solar panels and let the ground underneath be pollinator zones.
Oh, that's nice.
So then
that's
you actually have a larger population of insects, and which helps with the orchards nearby and so forth. So it's like...
You can make it very symbiotic. It's not like if you put a solar panel, you have nothing else there. Like you can use it for other things. You know what else I saw? I forget where. I saw this on the internet. They made a you know how highways will have like the divider in between, like the grassy divider in between? There's somewhere, probably a nice European country, where it's a highway and then the grassy divider in between is quite wide. And they made it a shaded, so they put solar panels to make a shaded tunnel for walking and biking.
Oh.
So that people could walk.
Great.
Yeah, like safely and use that foot travel.
So for example, you know, some farmer was saying that on an acre of land, he can grow corn to make ethanol, so you can burn it. Or you can put up solar panels and you can provide 100 times more energy and you have an electric car instead of having... So while on the kind of national level, the Republicans are trying to like undercut all these things, this past legislative session in Texas, they were passing all kinds of... they're trying to improve the grid, right? Because Texas had some troubles. So they're trying to pass... laws that would limit renewables but encourage gas and oil and stuff. All those bills failed in Texas.
In
Texas legislature.
Wow.
Okay. There's another interesting thing. Right. So let me talk about this book. So I listened to an interview with the author named Bill McKibben. He's an environmental activist. You know, he's probably like my age, kind of ancient. But he wrote this new book called Here Comes the Sun. And it's about the technology, solar and stuff, and the world. And basically, it's exploding. It's it's growing at a tremendous rate, and it's increasing rate. And he mentioned, like, other countries, like, for example, in Pakistan, of all places, they discovered that the use of electricity in the big cities had gone down from, like, the grid. And if you look at the picture of the city from space... Everybody has solar panels on the roofs.
Oh.
And they get solar panels cheaply from China.
Oh, interesting.
The author described he visited Africa, where some little village in the middle of nowhere in Africa, they set up a grid with solar panels and they have electricity for their village. And he, you know, they gave him a glass of cold water and he wasn't sure why, you know, they're so proud of it. And then he realized what was happening.
Yeah.
Right, you know. So he was joking that you know, United States can become like a colonial Williamsburg where people will come and visit to see what the cars with,
what gas cars look
gas
like.
Cars look like, yeah. So even though, so there's one other thing I want to mention. So in Europe, they have this thing what they call balcony solar. So people who live in apartments and buildings, they can buy a solar panel, hang it out on the balcony and plug it into the house and create. And that kind of stuff is, at the moment, kind of illegal in the United States.
Yeah.
Except in Utah, they're trying to change that.
That comes into conflict with a really old constitutional thing called the Dormant Commerce Clause, which is like the fakest of fake things from the Constitution. The very brief synopsis of it being... there was a case back in yonder days where a farmer who was a producer of wheat used part of his land to also grow wheat for himself, just for him and his family to eat. And the federal government said, no, we actually can regulate your personal growth of wheat and prevent you from growing your own wheat to consume because your use of your own wheat affects in the aggregate commerce, interstate commerce, because if every farmer was growing his own wheat and eating it, then in the aggregate, interstate commerce would be affected, and therefore we can regulate you and stop you from doing it. It's the same way that Congress regulates the control and sale of marijuana, that you can't grow your own marijuana and consume it under federal law, though they're not prosecuting those things
Right.
anymore. But the solar, there was this question that
Well,
came up with solar in the same way. If you're at home getting your own energy, using it yourself, you're not putting it into the stream of commerce, you're not selling it into them, you're just creating your own energy. Can the federal government stop you under the Dormant Commerce? Probably.
in this case, I think this is more just like local regulations of the power
The
companies.
question is, do the federal government care? But can they? The Dormant Commerce Clause says, yeah, they probably can.
Anyway, so the interesting thing about this whole thing is that even though the Republicans are trying to undercut all this green energy stuff, it's become so cheap that, like, for example, even with the tariffs as they are on the Chinese stuff, the solar panels are still cheaper because the prices have been going down and down and down and down. So this is like a technological wave that is coming. And China actually is at the moment leading it, with electric cars and renewable power. So it's going to be interesting few years.
Well, what do you think, looking at the political landscape, why are the mod is the Modern Republican Party?
Schismogenesis.
Oh, okay, you're bringing me back. You're bringing me back. Okay. Just because the Democrats took
That's
a
right.
position for
Yep,
it, they must take a position against it?
And Democrats do that sometimes too. It's like, when Republicans are attacking the FBI, the Democrats saying, no, the FBI is good. And, FBI has mixed history, let's just say.
It's a complicated past.
So anyway, this book, Here Comes the Sun, I'm planning to read it, so maybe next time I'll tell you what it said.
Well, that's interesting. Well, I'm glad to know that regardless of what our government is trying to do to stop renewable energy, it seems like it's coming anyway. That's great. Awesome. Okay. So my first topic is about Trump losing in court. Yay. We love to see it. So just what, two days ago, 3 days ago, an appeals court, a federal appeals court found that basically, almost all of the tariffs Trump has imposed since starting his presidency in January are illegal. And all of us in the legal community said, well, yeah, duh. So, but they found they were illegal. This is primarily applies to the reciprocal tariffs that Trump put in. And it is going to be appealed to the Supreme Court, or rather, the Trump administration will put in for the appeal. We'll see if the Supreme Court takes it. So the decision by the appellate court is being stayed until like October to give them time to do that. So the tariffs stay in effect. But the legal reasoning behind why the tariffs are illegal is pretty straightforward. So there's an act called the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, the IEEPA.
And nobody can remember its name. And like when I watch the news, people say, oh, there's this act there. Well,
IEEPA, yeah, like we
IEEPA.
can't pronounce it. It's weird to say it. Like it doesn't really make sense. So the point, it was passed, I think, in like the 70s.
Yes.
But the point is to give the president the power to act against, quote, unusual and extraordinary threats. So for a normal president, it would be used when there was a legitimate issue, when there was like a war or something, or an attack, something like that, right? But Trump is crazy and just like declared a state of emergency based on nothing and then started trying to put tariffs through this act. Now, the thing about this act is that it does not explicitly give the president the right to tariff. So it gives the president some additional powers in these cases of like unusual emergency, but it does not say, bullet point four, and also you can tariff under this. So number one question is, are we even in a legitimate emergency? Number two question was, even if we are, this power isn't delineated here, but doesn't say that. So one thing the appellate court ruled was basically the Constitution, remember the Constitution, we have that. The Constitution gives Congress the power to levy taxes and tariffs and do money stuff, not the presidency, not the executive branch. And that is a core congressional power. So the court said that the tariffs were basically overstepping the president's power into what is a core congressional power. So in its decision, the Court of Appeals said the IEEPA, quote, neither mentions tariffs or any of its synonyms, nor has any procedural safeguards that contain clear limits on the president's power to impose tariffs. So I'm trying to read as much as I can directly from the decision. Whenever Congress intends to delegate to the president the authority to impose tariffs, it does so explicitly, either by using unequivocal terms like tariff or duty, or via an overall structure which makes clear that Congress is referring to the tariffs. So basically, when it comes to powers given to branches of government by the Constitution, the rule of thumb is it has to be explicitly given, otherwise you don't have it. So it's not like we, Congress, are passing this law and we're not mentioning tariffs, therefore you can assume you do have the power to tariff. It's the opposite. You assume you don't have that power. So that's how congressional
Right.
legislation
So
is
I
read.
believe the interpretation that the administration used was that it said you can use economic actions, like typically that means sanctions of some kind. And they said economic. Oh, tariffs are economic.
Right,
Woohoo!
exactly. This is, I mean, look, ultimately with the law, you can make anything mean anything you want. The law is just, we made it up to begin with, so we could just make it mean something different. You know, once people are like, oh my God, I can't believe the law is changing. I can. We do that all the time. So, yeah, I mean, it's clever. It was a clever argument, but the appeals court here ruled 7-4. Now, it was mostly judges appointed by prior Democratic presidents, but there were also conservative justices and judges rather in the majority, and there were liberal judges in the minority who dissented. So, like, it wasn't like a perfect party line split or anything like that. Like, they really grappled
Interesting.
with the legal issue here of whether or not this particular act vested in the president the right to tariff in these circumstances. Like, they really grappled with it. But 7-4 is not a thin majority. That's the majority of the court said no. My guess is that it'll go up to the Supreme Court. Big question mark as to what'll happen at
So
that point.
here's one thing I heard somebody opine. So the everybody expects this to go to Supreme Court. However, the administration could say, okay, we accepted the decision, we're going to rescind the tariffs, and the economy won't crash, so this way they will can continue and kind of take the mulligan, saying, look, we tried, but you wind up in effect preserving the economy without causing undue damage, right? That tariffs will in the longer run.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, they could be
So
like,
they could
oh, it
say,
wasn't
well,
us,
we
it was
tried to do this,
them.
but
Yeah, oh,
they,
that liberal court.
and of
Yeah.
course they can always try to go to Congress and ask the Congress to try to pass some of this stuff,
Yeah.
right?
So that's the
So
other fix. Yeah.
they might not be able to do that. I think that they weren't able to do that in Trump's first term. Or they can take it to Supreme Court, and then all bets are off.
Well, the thing about the Supreme Court is like, if they're just ruling on the current iteration of the IEEPA, like, let's say it goes to the court and the conservative justices say, give Trump every power, but it's fine, he can tariff, right? At some point in time, Congress can just revise the IEEPA or pass a different law to change that. So, like, you know, that's the kind of thing where it's like, okay, if this version of the law is ambiguous and is interpreted to allow for tariffs, fine, then we'll just make it unambiguous. And we, as the Congress, will either allow for tariffs or not. Like, they can always go back and kind of fix it.
Wasn't there a case in Supreme Court just not that long ago where they basically said that if the law is ambiguous, the courts can interpret it?
Yeah, I mean, that's
And
how courts are, yeah.
but I mean, in a sense, normally the Congress will pass a law and there's an agency that will make the regulations finer, right? And they said, oh, you can challenge that and has to be resolved in the court.
Yeah, what was that case called? It was a big deal. It was last summer. And it
Right.
kind of, Chevron?
Chevron,
Yeah,
yeah.
Chevron. Yeah, no, that's bad. That was a bad thing.
So couldn't this apply here?
Yeah. I mean, the court will interpret it. It's a little bit different, I think, because it's more Chevron from whatever, and it's been like a year since I read it, so bear with me. Chevron, from what I recall, was more about the setting of like Congress passes a law and then who like implements it, like who determines how to
Right,
implement
so
it.
the thing was about agencies, executive agencies
Agencies, yeah.
doing regulation. Well,
Right.
here's an executive interpreting the law to do something.
Yeah. Yes, sort of. It's a little bit different because it's the president as an actor as opposed to an agency. And the thing about agencies is agencies are not in the Constitution. So the whole agency thing, we're all kind of like a gentleman's agreement, like we're cool with it because like how else would we run the
Well, I
government?
mean that the
But
laws that were passed to set up the agencies,
well,
so.
yeah, but they're not in the Constitution and they kind of are given constitutional authority. You know, it's one of those where we're all kind of like pay no attention to the agency behind the curtain kind of thing, you know?
Okay.
So, I mean, it's a big question in constitutional law. So, like, are agencies constitutional? But nobody wants to really t take them all down.
Right.
So, because it would, again, like, how
Well,
would you
so.
regulate anything? But yeah, I'd be interested to see how they deal with Chevron. In comparison to this, ultimately, I think the Supreme Court will take it, and I don't trust them, so I think they'll side with Trump and probably say it's fine. Would be my guess. It'll probably be 6-3, you know, our regular
No,
split.
some of the opinions of other lawyers, other than you, they think that the argument from the appeals court is very strong. The other thing that the appeals court did, so to prevent one of those middle of the night rulings that Supreme Court likes to do,
Yeah.
was that they stayed these
Right.
things, so they don't have to change anything. That tariffs can be continue to be collected and stuff, and then if they appeal, then that there'll be more time for the Supreme Court to decide rather
Right.
than doing the midnight decision.
Exactly. Yeah. Which was a good thing to do. A court and courts do that regularly,
Oh, do
even
they?
in like state court, federal court, yeah, where it's like they make a decision and they already understand that it's going to be appealed. And so you make a decision, but you stay that decision. So you say, like, I'm not imposing it yet, but this is the court's decision. So I don't know. We'll see the fate of the tariffs. And
When will Supreme Court take this up? Like, they're coming back in October.
we should find out if they're going to take it, I imagine, in the next few weeks, right? Because they come back. But then they wouldn't, then you got to do like whole Supreme Court briefing. It's like a whole thing. We probably wouldn't find out next year, probably sometime. I'm not even sure how they docket the arguments. Even with like regular state court, things take forever. Because I mean, the briefing's going to be long. The decision from the appellate court was like 160 something pages. It was long. So like they really went into it and tried to give like a solid analysis. I mean, the other option, which I don't think will happen, is that the Supreme Court will read the appellate court's decision and say we're not taking it. They could just say like this is fine. You know, like we're not going to disturb the ruling at that level. But I think they will because it has to do with the powers of the presidency. And the Supreme Court should weigh in on the powers of the presidency in like a generic kind of way. But I just don't like how they rule because they're dumb. They have three brain cells amongst all the conservative justices, and they can just barely rub them together
No,
and make a spark. Okay, and what is your second
So my
topic?
second topic is kind of interesting. It's the gubernatorial election in California. So Gavin Newsom, our favorite governor at the
Our
moment,
new favorite troll, Gavin Newsom.
is term limited and he's going to be out of office next year. So everyone expected after last year's election that Kamala Harris would run for governor of California.
Yeah.
And she recently,
She said no.
she said no, she's not interested. So the other person that typically would go run for governor is the person who's the lieutenant governor. And I don't remember her name. And she also declined. So that kind of became an open field. So there's a whole bunch of, host of candidates. And the one candidate that I personally like is a lady named Katie Porter. Katie Porter. Porter.
Porter.
Porter. Porter. Not Potter.
Not
Potter
Potter.
was, that's Harry.
Yeah, no. You're
Katie
a
Porter.
governor, Porter.
And the way I know of her, she used to be in Congress for a couple of terms. She was a congresswoman from California, and she's very well versed in kind of financial shenanigans. And she would always drive all these big banks who testify in front of Congress crazy. And she's the one who used to have these whiteboards and draw the formulas and explain. And she worked very closely with Elizabeth Warren on like the various financial thingies. So I looked up some stuff about her. So she's a lawyer. Surprise, surprise. She was in private practice for a while. She then was a law professor at universities. Originally she's from Iowa, which is unusual, but she's lives in California. And now, if you remember when Kamala Harris was an AG in California, she was one of the few AGs that won a case against big banks.
Yes.
After the mortgage crisis.
Yes.
And she got the banks to basically pay fines and pay money, I guess, to people. And Kamala Harris appointed Katie Porter to be like the person to manage the independent person to manage this thing and oversee the banks. And then she was, you know, so after doing that, she was elected to Congress. Let's see, she was elected in 2018, first time. And I guess in 2020, 2022. And in 2024, she tried to run for Senate. Right. And that was because Dianne Feinstein died.
Yes. I remember.
Yeah. And California is this odd place where when they have primaries for Congress, it's a primary where both Republicans and Democrats run at the same time. So they have an election and the top two candidates go, you know, if nobody gets 50%, then top two candidates from the election go against each other. So she was in these primaries for being a senator from California. And unfortunately, she lost in the primaries. So she, I think some Republican came ahead of her. And there was a bit of controversy because she said the election was rigged. Rigged by billionaires.
Oh, okay. I mean.
And turned out, you know, she had a point that there was some well-financed opposition against her. One of the reasons was because she was against the Genius Act, remember?
Oh, yeah, we talked about it in a previous episode of Down Simple News.
Here's a little quote from an article about that event. So it's, Katie Porter got in trouble at the end of her 2024 Senate campaign for using the word rigged to describe the statewide primary race she lost. She was referring to a coordinated campaign by big money, particularly crypto interests, to drive her negatives and hand California Senate seat to Adam Schiff. Adam Schiff is a good guy. These interests got their return on investment this year when Schiff supported the Genius Act.
Oh, interesting.
So anyway, so she's running for governor of California, so that's going to be an interesting campaign. So I just thought is it a positive story, a happy story? It's just an interesting story. Yeah. It's kind of unexpected.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, that does sort of hit on, and I wonder if she, you know, was in a position of power, if she would be supportive of like more campaign finance reform. You know, the fact that like you do have situations where you have billionaires like Elon Musk who can come in and like, not, you don't buy the election exactly in the sense of like handing a bag of money to people to vote, but like when you can pour endless money into ads forever, you know, it makes a difference. And there should be a limit to how much somebody can donate or whatever. Like, there should be a limit to
You know, the Citizens United. Well, as a governor of California, she would probably not have that much influence on that. But California is a big state and has a lot of these tech companies are in California. And I'm hearing that a lot of them, a lot of the tech companies are leaving Texas.
Why?
They all went to Austin as a city and got too crowded, too expensive. And all of a sudden, some of them are trying to move back where they came from. Anyway, so that's my interesting story for this time.
That's very nice. All right, we'll have to follow that then.
Yep.
So my happy story is very happy and very exciting.
Uh-oh.
Taylor Swift is engaged. Yay! Congratulations. Like, she watches our show. So Taylor Swift is engaged to her boyfriend of 2 years, Travis Kelce. Good for him. Future Mr. Swift proposed to her with like this giant diamond and I think it's beautiful. I will hear no critique. I will hear no criticism. But do you know the history of Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift?
Vaguely.
Okay, I will run you through it because I know you're fascinated.
I am.
And I know that our viewers are also fascinated because it is really one of those things that you hear the kids nowadays say, like, they're manifesting. Have you heard that phrase?
I heard that term. I forget what it means.
It means like you want something to happen. So you're willing it into being. You're manifesting.
Yeah.
So Travis Kelce is the absolute definition of manifesting at this point, because this is the timeline. Taylor Swift is initially dating a man named Joe Alwyn, who is fine. He's an actor or whatever. They date for 4 years. She starts the Eras Tour. You recall the Eras Tour.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the Eras Tour. Yes, I spent a small fortune going to the Eras Tour.
Mm.
So she starts the Eras Tour. Sometime around the very beginning of the Eras Tour, Joe Alwyn breaks up with her. And I know. We're like... And we kind of... Swifties were kind of able to pin it down because her set list changed a little bit. She had a song in the set list called Invisible String, which is a beautiful song. It has a beautiful guitar in it. You might really like it. Which was a song explicitly about her relationship with Joe Alwyn. And she replaced it with a different song from that album. So at one point in time, she changed the set list and all the Swifties were like, what has happened? Why did you change the Invisible String song? And then shortly thereafter, it came out that they had broken up. So starts the tour with boyfriend, gets broken up with, continues tour. She like casually dates like another guy in the middle there or whatever. Travis Kelce goes to her show. He goes to the Eras Tour. He's never met her before. No contact. He goes to her show and he just like falls in love with her. He just watches her show and he's like, this is the most wonderful person I've ever seen in my life. I must meet her. He has a podcast with his brother. They're both football.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They play the sports ball, is my understanding. And so after going to the show, he talks about it on his podcast and he's like, I was disappointed because she won't meet with people after the show. She doesn't meet with people before or after shows to save her voice. That's been well known about Taylor Swift for a long time. And he's like, I brought a friendship bracelet because you know how to the Taylor Swift concerts, everyone makes friendship bracelets. It's super cute. He's like, I brought a friendship bracelet with my number on it and I wanted to give it to her, but I didn't get to meet her because she won't meet with people after the shows. So he talks about it on his podcast and he just keeps talking about it on his podcast. And he's basically saying out to the world over and over, like, Taylor Swift, I want to date you. Taylor, I want to date Taylor Swift. Date me. And he just keeps talking about it. So then the powers that be had them connect. I think the way it happened was like a football coach guy knew Taylor Swift's dad because her dad is like really into football and stuff. And he's like a big CEO and stuff like that. You know, like the Swift family was like quite wealthy before Taylor Swift became famous. So like, cause the father's like a big businessman. So anyway, they ultimately get connected. They meet, they start to date that summer. We don't find out about it for a while. They keep it under wraps for a while. Then they ultimately, you know, that fall, she starts going to games, whatever.
Right. She appears on football, on the Super Bowl.
She wins the Super Bowl. Taylor Swift won the Super Bowl in her rookie year. Mm. It was amazing.
Yeah, it was.
Eras Tour is going on this whole time. She releases a new album called The Tortured Poets Department. I forget. Right. Oh, shoot. Now I forget which year she releases it. She releases it that fall. And when the Eras Tour comes back for its second European leg, for the second year, because it was a 2-year tour ultimately, she changes the set list to include The Tortured Poets Department.
Okay.
Because she has a new album she has to include it in the Eras. Now, the Tortured Poets Department has songs on it that are explicitly about Travis Kelce. And they're about like her falling in love with Travis Kelce and how great he is. And she did a couple of shows where he was on stage with her and performed some of those Tortured Poets Department songs with her.
Oh.
It was super cute. And now they're engaged. And it's like, this man went from being a regular person in the audience of the Eras Tour to being engaged to the person performing the Eras Tour. Like, it was so, like he manifested that. He just said, I'm going to say it out loud over and over on the internet until it comes true. Yeah. And so now they're engaged and that's very good. And they're very happy and that's a good thing. And we love to see it.
When is the wedding? Do you know?
I haven't got my invitation yet, but I'm sure I will.
Well, we have to manifest it.
We have to manifest. I'm sure I'm going to be invited to Taylor's wedding. The other funny thing about it is, and these jokes are made all in good fun, is people talking about what the album is going to be called when they get divorced. Which they won't. They're not going to get divorced. They're in love and it's magic. But you know how she has an album called Reputation?
Mm-hmm.
So people said it's going to be a prenuptation instead. That was one I saw on the internet, which I love. There's been a lot of good ones, out there. But yeah, congratulations, Taylor Swift. Congratulations, future Mr. Swift. You guys, it's going to be great. And I do look forward to the invitation to the wedding.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you for joining us at Downsampled News. Follow along and like and comment. And I don't know what the kids say on YouTube. Do you know, whatever.
Do the thing, yeah.
Or don't. I can't tell you what to do. I can't. I'm not watching you. if you want to follow me, I'm on TikTok at Beelock, BEELOCK. And I'm on Blue Sky as Beelock. And I'm on Instagram, I think, as Beelock. Like, pretty much everywhere. That's my handle if you want to follow anything I'm doing. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks. Bye, guys.
Thanks. Bye.
You see what my mug says? I'm not arguing. I'm explaining why I'm right. I've said that in court before.